Hey crew, what's going on? Hope everybody's well. Today's guest is Levi Saunders. Levi is a digital marketing specialist. His areas of expertise include search engine optimization, website design, online traffic, and lead generation. Levi's worked with businesses both small and large to ensure that their online presence stays relevant against an ever-changing search engine algorithm. Expect to learn why websites are still the cornerstone for any business, how to optimize a website to ensure greater priority in search engine indexing, the key metrics used to determine the success of a website in the eyes of Google, why we could survive without social media but not Google, the common mistakes when creating an online presence, and of course, much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Levi Saunders. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'll be better when I hear a little bit more about this digital marketing stuff that you were involved in. Tell us a little bit about what on earth digital marketing is. I feel like it's an area that's maybe, dare I say it, a little bit taboo or something that is often spoken about in meetings, but really not a lot of understanding. You are somebody with that understanding. What's going on with it?
Oh, cool. Well, just to give a little bit of background on myself, Tim, just to give listeners a bit of an idea, I'd say probably about 7 years ago, I was stuck in a job I didn't really engage with and, you know, always had delusions of grandeur about, you know, starting some sort of a business and, you know, becoming mega successful and having all these aspirations and things like that. And I kind of really got fixated in particular on search engines and the idea of websites where as such you can advertise products on a website and organically people can actually find you online and they can either inquire about your services or product, or if it's an e-commerce product, they can purchase your product straight away. And, you know, there's in many businesses online, there's a huge reoccurring kind of element to the actual business itself. So for me, I guess search engines makes up a big part of online marketing. If you look statistically, you know, search engines make up most of the traffic still that goes on online, particularly for people that already know about an existing product or service that they're trying to find. So I guess for me, online marketing is predominantly focused around directories and search engines. And I mean, directories have been around since, you know, humans could put pen to paper, you know, as soon as we could index things, create dictionaries. I guess Google itself is just a massive directory in itself. But I mean, online marketing stems far beyond that. I mean, you've got social media mediums, which I generally refer to as exposure advertising, where if you're using paid social media, then you're often putting products and services people in front of people that they're not necessarily aware of. And it's kind of an interruption style of marketing where you're interrupting them in your spare time. And then you can look at marketing from two ways as well, whether it be Google or Facebook, you know, or Instagram or TikTok or whatever. You know, there's a paid version where you're putting money in the machine and it's giving you exposure for the amount of money and the dials that you push. Or there's organic where, you know, you might be building up a following on social media. You might be putting a lot of time, effort, and also money into a website, but in a different way that eventually organically is going to drive exposure and customers to your business. So I guess really that is in a nutshell itself. I started building websites and renting and selling leads out to local customers. And I think 6 years later, you know, co-founded a digital marketing agency, and 6 years later, you know, it was turning in excess of over $1 million a year and for myself and my business partner at the time. And, you know, we had 17 people working for us in that particular business. And then from there, it's stemmed onto other businesses that all required online marketing in a really varying array of industries. Like, you know, I've had a crack at concreting. The online flooring store is one of the things that I'm still involved in at the moment. There's even been car hire, local websites that I still own that I rent out to businesses, and so on and so on. And, you know, like, I think once you learn and become a master of like a subsidiary of digital marketing, marketing, no matter what it is, it gives you so much leverage in the business world as either a business owner to generate your own leads, or as a potential partner, or potentially someone that if you're an experienced enough marketeer to actually look after clients for people and, you know, generate business for their business.
You mentioned social media, Instagram and so on. How different is that style of marketing through social media compared to what you were doing with this company you just described? Is that primarily you were using directories to promote some kind of marketing over social media? Is that the main difference?
It's not about competing with social media. It's a really kind of interesting question, actually. So social media is really kind of, I guess, wary of search engines such as Google. So if you post a link on Facebook or Instagram, whether it be anything to do with Google websites or YouTube or anything, it'll reduce your exposure to near nothing. However, Google kind of sees social media as an advantage. So for instance, if I build a website for you, we're trying to SEO something to do with podcasting, Google looks at your website and Google's reputation is always on the line, you know, in terms of where it bumps you up in search engines for whatever key terms. So Google looks at that and thinks, well, he's got an active Instagram account with lots of followers and engagement. He's got an active Facebook account with lots of followers and engagement. And that's one of 100 main metrics that we use to test whether this is a valid business, B, is this a business that we can put people in front of and that's going to best serve our search engine users. So Google's really taken, it's just such a giant. It doesn't particularly need to be social or anything, so you don't necessarily have it thrown in front of you every day, but it's using all these other channels and mediums and has turned it into tools for its own purpose to be able to test whether it's a person or business that's worth indexing online in the search engine.
I hear a lot of like bro science-y type conversation around digital marketing through social media, and this word of algorithm comes up a lot, where you hear somebody say, oh yeah, I've manipulated the algorithm to achieve X result. Is this a genuine thing that somebody who actually knows what they're doing does? Is there some magic algorithm that applies to social media to improve your position within directories like Google?
I think for the last 5 years, I think algorithms has just been one of those words that potential marketers just throw around. I think, Google is made up of, you know, a number of complex algorithms that you and I could possibly not fathom to understand. And the same with Facebook and Instagram and everything else. I think what people are talking about is they found a few things that work in particular that they're focusing on. So it's not manipulation as such, it's working to what the algorithm wants. So for instance, recently Google just had another update. I'm going to do a little bit more research to see exactly what that's all about. But generally updates, again, they're all about the users, whether it be Facebook, Instagram or Google in particular. When an algorithm update comes forward, its sole purpose is the benefit of the users. So a very famous update that happened 3 years ago with Google was called the Medic update. And this really was based around websites that are in the health industry and the finance industry. So Google did one of a number of things. And, you know, a few of those things were that, we're no longer going to give websites preference that don't display their credentials online, that don't appear to have people qualifications and experience that they need to be in the finance or any part of the medical industry. You know, because if we're bumping some guy from another country that's just come over here and fudged his qualifications or whatever, that's going to affect the reputation of our search engine. So we're protecting our users by creating this algorithm update, which effectively is going to make a difference in people's lives, because hopefully that means that they can land on a better product or service when they land on that website. And the same with algorithms with social media, you know, like we're Facebook. I don't spend a lot of time on social media at all, to be frank. I don't really need to be found at the moment. You know, maybe that's a reason why you could trust the information that I'm saying. I don't know. but, you know, why they beta test things so they could cancel likes or comments or whatever, and they're seeing what works for their users. So, you know, they identify that there's so much focus around influencers and all this kind of stuff that, situations where people are relying on likes for their own happiness, but it didn't necessarily push humanity forward, I suppose, if that makes any sense in terms of algorithms.
In terms of algorithms, and I hate to continue to use this sort of buzzword that people throw around, but where do you think people actually learn this stuff? Do you think it's, as you say, just experience through, you know, trial and error, hey, I did X and the outcome was Y, or do you think that they have connections with people that might establish these algorithms and then that sort of funnels down through various social circles and so on? Or do you think there's a bit of a combination of things going on where somebody truly does have the capacity to learn what those algorithms are and maybe when the changes come in?
It's not necessarily learning the algorithm itself, because admittedly I don't know code and I've got no desire to know that. I have people that work for me that do know code, or have worked for me that know code, and that's enough for me. So they probably know a little bit more about the coding of algorithms. What's important is to know what an algorithm does. So if there's a Google change, it's doing your research and, okay, so from now on, you know, part of the user experience on a website is, you know, people don't want big walls of content anymore. You know, it's either got to be short, sharper to the point, and it's sooner up the page to get to the point in a dot-pointed format and, you know, a video embedded from YouTube to explain it sooner rather than later. So we're giving users the opportunity to get to an answer quicker than a website that's just one giant wall of text. So to reaffirm, it's not about understanding what the algorithm is in a coding sense. It's understand what its purpose is. You know, what is this thing actually designed for? How is this meant to benefit people? Why has Google, Facebook, or Instagram made this decision to roll out this change? And then how can we adjust our digital marketing to capitalize on this algorithm change as opposed to be held back by it?
Awesome. Mate, you mentioned websites before, and if I could just shift into that for a moment. My understanding is that the idea of a website is becoming sort of obsolete. I feel like a lot more people are moving into these kind of social media realms for marketing. How wrong am I? Websites still relevant? Are people still using them? What's the go at the moment with actually having a website? I feel like it was something that, you know, sort of 10 years ago when having a website was the new and the beautiful thing to have, everybody said, you know, check out my website. I don't hear that so often these days. Is it still as big as it was, or is it bigger?
Oh, honestly, like I think, again, so search engines is a directory, right? So it's based around indexing things that people are already looking for. Social media, in a sense, is more based around exposure. But social media is social, so it's obviously got the means to, you know, feel a little bit more in your face and fill up your spare time when you're bored and do all that kind of stuff. But when push comes to shove, you know, if you're looking for a local business, you know, you're going to go straight to Google Maps. You're going to go straight to a search engine to find a doctor, a tow truck operator, whatever it is in your area. Social media just does not have search engine capabilities. And if you look at the traffic and statistics online in terms of how big search engines are and just how much of the online traffic they have, it's absolutely astonishing. And admittedly, even when I started digital marketing, you know, until I saw the facts, stats, and statistics, you know, I thought websites were dead or a dying thing. But the fact is that they're just such a cornerstone of any business. You know, whether you've got social media accounts, whether you've got a YouTube channel, whether you've got an app or whatever it is, you know, every large corporation and company in the world that desperately wants to be seen in the hearts and minds of customers has a website. And a lot of those businesses, particularly local businesses that you have a service that you need on a daily basis, you know, they have a website. And if they don't have a website, then they sure as hell definitely got a Google My Business listing. So, you know, if you want to know where the local Woolworths is, then you're going to go into Google Maps and you're going to see all the listings, and the closest one is maybe 2 kilometres away, which is just down the road, or you might like another Woolworths down the road or another shopping centre or whatever. It's all coming up in these map listings. And these map listings have also got, you know, reviews and products and all this kind of stuff. And generally speaking, the best map listings also link back to a website as well. Yeah, it's incredibly important to be seen in search engines. And I think if you deleted social media or you deleted search engines, I think humanity would struggle a hell of a lot more if we deleted search engines.
How do you measure the impact? It certainly does, but you've also confirmed that I was, in fact, very wrong about websites. I'm actually interested, though, now that you've said that, you know, websites are still very much alive and they are what appears to be critical in terms of getting found, how do you measure the impact of a website? How do you know that it's good? What does a good website actually look like? Do you have some key metrics as a digital marketing specialist that you can use to say, hey, this part of your website's not working as well as it should? These are the things you could do.
Oh, totally. How long is a piece of string? There's literally hundreds of things and that you can work on straight off the bat, you know, to determine whether a website's good or not. I mean, first and foremost, are customers currently coming to this website? And, you know, there's Google Analytics. It's just so easy to tell that, you know, there's reoccurring customers or there's a certain stream of new users that are coming through every single day, you know, how long they're actually spending on this website as well. So what's the bounce rate like? Because Google knows all this stuff and is going to rank the website accordingly as well. You know, how often are customers completing goals like contact forms or click to calls or picking up the phone or, you know, making an online sale if it's an e-commerce store? And, you know, and you can get all this data and then you can compare it to time periods. So I can compare last month to the month before. I can compare this month to this month last year. I can compare this year to last year, you know, all this data. So, you know, we can really determine whether this website is on the up or, you know, it's stagnant or, you know, it's on the way down in terms of its customers that it's achieving. Obviously, again, does it have social media channel? But basically, when you're looking to determine the successfulness of a website, you can really break it into two areas. One area is kind of easy to explain, which is called on-site. So that's everything that you see on the website. So, you know, every single heading, every single sentence, even the images themselves, you can actually SEO index and geo tag. These are all things that search engines pick up. You know, is the website, is it functional on a mobile phone? You know, is it all weird and shit when you scroll through on the phone? Does it jump around? And, you know, does it load quickly? That's a huge ranking factor as well. You know, if it doesn't, you know, what can we do really quickly in terms of hosting and file size to make that website load a hell of a lot quicker, really, to give it a better chance of ranking better in search engines. So there's just an unlimited things really on site that you can improve, that you've got to look at. You know, 100 of those things are critically important. And, you know, things like having a YouTube channel and having that embedded in there, or social media channels, and, you know, phone optimization is just so important at the moment. I mean, if your website doesn't make sense on a phone, well, that's where most of the website users are coming from now. So you're pretty much dead in the water in terms of how Google's concerned. So that's just really touching the surface in terms of what's called on-site. So they're things that technically the untrained or the trained eye can see. Now, off-site with websites is a completely different ballgame. And that's something called backlinking. And that's where, say I've got a website and, you know, there's other websites online that see value in my website. So they're putting in, whether they're blogging or it could be their service pages or anywhere on their website, they're saying, hey, well, Levi's got a really good flooring product that we want to reference on our website, and they're referencing it on there, and that's what's kind of called a backlink. And that's probably, I guess, the easiest way I can say it. It's other websites giving your website approval and votes. So it's almost like an insane structural hierarchy for websites on the back end. And that's really how you get some horsepower, you know, because most industries, if you go in with a website that has no horsepower or backlinks, then you're not really going to penetrate the SEO space that you need to. And how do you get them? Well, you mean you've got to know a lot of other people and do a lot of networking with other people that have access or ownership of other websites. You know, it's a huge job and it's a long-term play. But eventually, you know, you do the same thing over and over again and you do it well. Just like the 100 other things that you got to do well with websites, you're going to have something that performs and you're going to gain traction, and more customers generate more customers. And those pockets of search engine traffic that people are consistently searching for every month, you can expect to be moving up closer towards prime time position for.
In terms of website advice, 100%. If somebody's, you know, listening to this and they've got a website established, you know, so they've been in the game a little while, they've got themselves a website, their socials are good, what's the biggest piece of advice that you'd give them in terms of optimizing their website? What's something that they must have on their website today to keep them highly relevant?
Yeah, look, first and foremost, I mean, if you just Google speech test, so you can Google page speed test. So straight away, you just get your website URL, you copy and paste in there, and you can see how quickly your website performs. You know, if it's got a high percentage or you know, it's in the top 90 or so percent in terms of all the websites that are on the internet in terms of speed, that's a good thing. You know, if it's within the bottom 20, then it's pretty catastrophic. And the reason I say website speed is because that's usually something that can be fixed right away. It's usually got something to do with file size, with the images. You know, if you've got an image that's, 15 megabytes that's on your home page, well, it's only going to take up this amount of room. So, you know, it could be compressed and users wouldn't even know. So, or it could be something to do with the hosting. So where your website data is actually being held might be a slow service. So it could be a really easy fix. And by fixing your website speed, the users that are going to land on there are going to get the information quicker and less likely to bounce off. And search engines are going to look at it and think, well, this is a website that loads quicker than others, so that's a tick in our book. So if you were to say one thing, I'd say that, just because people can test it themselves, and that's something that they can say, hey, look, I've got a really shit page speed test, and say that to their developer. What can we do to improve this and make this a faster website? Because at the moment, I think it's probably going to be letting customers down. If I was going to just throw in another one quickly, it's getting the website out and looking at it on a phone. So have a look in Google for your particular product and service and see the websites that are ranking. You know, it might be Dr. Hobart. So have a look and see the doctors in Hobart, the website that's on there. Hopefully, if you get it out on a phone, you'll notice that it's pretty smooth to use on a mobile phone device, hence why Google might be giving it preference. So have a look, and if it's not working out on the phone, you need to have a look and see websites that are ranking well on a phone, and it's not going to take you long to discover, you know, what you're doing versus what they're doing. So, you know, is it easy to read? Is it easy to scroll through? Does it load quickly? What are the call to actions like? You know, are the click to call buttons clear? Can you actually click on a button on the website and call from the phone? Or do you still need to copy it and paste it in your phone? Yeah, that'll be the one or two things I'd advise people to do.
Gotcha. Fantastic advice, mate. And you've certainly given me some ideas when we think about website development for Mistake Mastery, which is just around the corner. You are obviously going to be my number one mentor in that space. I really appreciate that. Mate, in terms of this profession, this idea of being a digital marketing specialist, which is, you know, what you've been for quite some time now, it seems like it's an area that is always evolving, that's always changing. You mentioned yourself that Google has just come out with a new indexing algorithm just recently, or an update. It seems like it's very fast-paced. How can somebody like yourself actually stay on top of these emerging trends? Where can you go to learn this stuff? Or is it just, again, you fiddling around, trial and error? Where can you go to keep on top of, you know, what seems to be something that is lightning fast at the moment?
Well, something that I very early on in my digital marketing journey is the people that try and do everything, that they claim to be a jack of all trades, that can do paid social media, SEO, Facebook ads, YouTube ads.
Sorry, Levi, could you just describe what SEO is? I've heard you mention it a couple of times, and for an amateur like myself, could you explain to the listeners what's SEO?
Sorry, guys. So SEO is just basically stands for search engine optimization. So what that means, gotcha, is what I was talking about before. So on-page optimization and off-page optimization, it's basically gearing a website to give it the best chance of indexing highly and occupying the top positions for high-value keywords in search engines.
Gotcha. And, yeah, in terms of how you stay on top of this stuff.
Yeah, look, that's actually a really straightforward answer in my book. So if you're a person that tries to do everything, then it's impossible. But what you really need to do, if digital marketing is something that really identifies with you and you've got grand illusions or illusions, I guess, of, you know, maybe one day having your own clients that you digital market for, then you've really got to pick an area of digital marketing that you think that you'd be able to master. I mean, SEO in itself is just such a massive game. It's just so huge. And if you want to be on top of your game, then that's pretty much got to occupy all of your time. But I guess one of the good things about SEO is trying to find facts in relation to the latest algorithm update, the people that are talking for it have websites that are ranking particularly well describing the algorithm update. So the irony is that, you know, finding the information should be relatively easy. So, you know, whether you use someone like SEO Jet or Neil Patel or whatever, you know, they're all kind of sharing very similar information and they're all going to rank very well when they put out some more information and advice, you know, about the latest algorithm update or something like that. And there's also a plethora. I think Google even have their own online courses. So you could even almost dip your feet in a few areas for free and see if SEO or Facebook ads or whatever it is going to be something that might excite you. Finding the information is not the hard thing. The information is there. Finding something that you enjoy, that you're passionate about, that you can sit in a room for 12 plus hours a day, be the idiot that has to go through that learning process for years on end, you know, have clients and not earn money for years. And, you know, because everyone knows that growing and scaling a business burns money. So, you know, you've got to find something that you're going to go through all that stuff and not earn much money for a while. So you've got to really be passionate about whatever it is that you do. Finding the information is not the issue. The information is there and it's literally a Google search away. It's so easy to find.
So, I mean, you know, it sounds like if someone was wanting to do this stuff themselves, that maybe just don't. Maybe, you know, spend the money on somebody who knows what they're talking about. But at the same time, you've said the info is pretty accessible. So if you're pretty tech handy, you know, it shouldn't be too hard to find this advice and these changes to sort of optimize and use SEO across your website, right? Is that kind of the vibe?
To be frank, to learn and practice SEO, it really is a lifestyle. I mean, to learn and practice Facebook ads, it's something that you could pick up within a few months and be doing quite proficiently. SEO, you know, you wouldn't have even really built your first website yet, and you wouldn't have even started to rank. You know, that's something that really Google really only gets you out of the adolescent period of being a new website on the block after the 6 month period. So, I mean, you're still miles away from even generating customers and all that kind of stuff. So SEO, you know, you probably do have to have someone, if you can find someone, whether you're working for an agency or, you know, you found someone that's willing to put in the time and work with you to really help you achieve those initial results and those learnings. So all the information is there, but applying it is grueling and a very, very long process. So I guess SEO is really a fine art. By no means am I the best in what I do. I think I'm really up there in terms of SEO. I think I've worked with people that are in the top few percent as well, which is, you know, rubbed off on me eventually. But, you know, I spent the first 2 or 3 years in particular just making mistake after mistake after mistake just consistently. And I just think if I didn't have those people beside me, then I wouldn't have survived. I mean, I think to a certain extent, Facebook advertising and things like that are going to get more competitive undoubtedly. But yeah, that's just kind of how I feel about SEO. And I think maybe if you're a business owner already, you know, you're full time doing that business or whatever, I don't think you learning SEO is probably going to be a really good thing, because you're never going to have the time and the skills and learn everything on one website. It's just not possible.
What were some of the specific mistakes that you made when it came to digital marketing, SEO in the early days, you know, website development? What were some of the things that you did that you sort of look back on and go, yeah, they were a learning experience, but at the same time, they were a mistake at that point in your journey?
Every mistake really needs an explanation. You know, like an easy one is what they call like dummy pages or zombie pages. So if I was to bring one of any number of websites up, you know, people that have no real concept of what search engine marketing means or have had no really desire to go after it, most web developers will build them a website and, you know, they'll have the homepage, the service page and all these other things. And usually the website comes in some sort of a template. So the template usually has its own pages as well. And so many website owners and developers either don't bother or don't know to delete these pages. They're called zombie pages and they're attached to the website. And what happens is Google tries to index those pages, but because they've been poorly done and they're full of what they call Latin or filler text or whatever that a website puts up before you put your own text in, you know, like it's got all these horrible things that search engines hate. So it's literally dragging the website around like an anchor. So initially when I started, you know, I had no concept of these things that existed. And I mean, for a few clicks of the button, you've deleted them. But again, if you don't know about it, then it's just going to be something that weighs you down so heavily, it can literally has the power to sink a business. I was lucky when I started, you know, or we started, I was learning on my own websites. And, you know, I just had no idea about these pages that shouldn't be there that existed on websites. And it's just one of the easy fixes. You know, I can grab someone's website, and if they've got those pages, I'll delete them. And I don't know if that's all I did. I've made a profound impact in the business's life. The other one is grammar errors as well. So, you know, like spelling mistakes, formatting issues, grammar errors, links that don't work. So if you're linking out to another website, you know, all these little chinks in the armor, Google crawls over your website and looks at all of it. So every tiny little mistake that you have, if that's on Google's list and you've got it, then, you know, see you later. You're not going to rank the way that you should long term. Another huge one that I see all the time that I've always been very wary of is called duplicate content. So if I build a new website tomorrow and, you know, it's all my own content, it's all my own written text that comes from me. You go out a couple of weeks later and you create a website and you just copy and paste all my content on your website. Well, your website's full of duplicate content. So basically Google really frowns upon that and will not index you, or sometimes put you in what's Google jail, where you can't actually index for an extended period of time to punish you for stealing my content. Another one,
Google jail.
People source Google jail. That's right. So
fascinating concept.
It's a real place.
Unreal.
Yeah, it's a real place, and it does happen. And it takes a little bit to prove that you're there, but you kind of know it when you are. And the other one is, you know, what they call spammy backlinks. So, you know, people trying to source backlinks from websites that are really shitty, full of content, or don't make sense, or unrelated content to what you're trying to achieve. And again, Google will look at it and go, that's just really crappy and spammy, and I'm just not going to bother with that website. So they're not going to get any customers. I'm not going to give them any exposure.
Mate, in terms of mistakes in your business journey, so, you know, you've mentioned some mistakes that you made specific to digital marketing. In terms of sourcing out clients, interacting with those clients, communicating, have you made any sort of mistakes that you look back on now in regards to those things and sort of, you know, have you sort of moved beyond them now, and in what ways did you overcome them?
Yeah, look, there's no possible way that I could list all of them, because I'm forever a student and I'm always making mistakes, and I welcome that when it's not at the expense of clients and other people. I think when I started digital marketing, I was I'm in a position now where, you know, I'm happy to talk to people, but I don't really care if I'm found or not, you know. Like, I've got my freedom model and what I'm trying to achieve out of life for myself and my son, and, you know, I've got no desire to make out that I'm better than anyone else or whatever. And I think when I started out in digital marketing, I think maybe I was very excited about what I was hoping to achieve with websites and SEOs. And I think initially in a few client meetings that really people really got onto that. Like, it was more about how good I was as opposed to me helping that business owner that was engaging in my services. So, I mean, once you remove the ego, eventually you look back at those situations and you smile and you realize where you were at that point in time and that you really didn't deserve to have that customer. You know, you're just more trying to big note yourself in terms of how good you are and how lucky they were to have you, when really, you know, without customers, without relationships, you know, you're not going to have any business. You know, the customers are the lifeblood of your business and what you're trying to achieve. It's not to say that every customer's right for you. I firmly believe in spending the extra time to find the perfect fit, and, you know, customers that are so proud to be with you that they refer, because, again, you know, search engines are amazing, but referrals are still the best form of leads on this planet, and that ain't digital marketing. So that was a really big mistake, I think. Well, not a big one. I mean, I look back now and I think, I can't believe I said and did those things in that certain way. And it didn't take me long to realize that there's no value in terms of appearing, at least appearing to be in something for yourself. You know, the value had to get really had to come from getting results to other people. And once I understood that early on, eventually the money came as well.
Amazing. Eventually. You know, one of the key things that I had a conversation with a guy last night, business owner, and, you know, he's pretty green. He's sort of 6 months in. And one of the things that he said was that when he first started out, you know, it was his sort of, you know, his space. He went in there, he was telling his employees, you know, it needs to be done this way, this way, and this way. And those ways that he was putting forward were really about sort of showing them how good he was as the business owner, as the supervisory kind of role. And he said very quickly that, you know, somebody with experience, so he was lucky enough to actually employ somebody that had been involved in the industry that he was in. And very quickly, that person turned around and said, actually, sorry, that's not the way to go about it. If you go about it this way, this is going to be, you know, a negative outcome here, 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 and here. However, if you just tweak A, B, and C a little bit and remove yourself from that slightly elevated podium that you've put yourself on, all of your staff will start giving you the feedback that you could use to improve this place. And that's exactly what he did within the sort of first, you know, 5-6 months. And as he said, almost immediately, staff satisfaction improved, client satisfaction improved. So there's definitely something to be said for, as you said, literally just taking a step back, listening to the people in your organization and the customer, most importantly. Yeah. I think there's something there that we, and I don't know, I'd need to do my research on this. I wonder if that's a young guy thing or if it's also as prominent with, you know, females as well. I'm not sure. It seems like maybe it's just because I have more friends that are guys, that a lot of young guys early on in business are all about themselves. And I think certainly even say this podcast, it can become this thing where, you know, it's all about me instead of the other person on the line who has the valuable information to hand out.
I think that kind of goes into what became probably my second big mistake, maybe even my biggest. First of all, just what you're saying before, I think what people need to realize is money in business doesn't discriminate whether you're an arsehole or not. There's plenty of arseholes out there that earn a lot of money that paint themselves out to be successful. And unfortunately, there's people gullible enough to hand over their money and work with them for at least a short period of time for them to get a transaction. So be under no illusion that those people exist in business and you need to be really careful. I think the second mistake for me is that we got a lot of immediate success in the form of getting results for customers. And then customers started to come to us for ideas. So, you know, I've got this local business. Let's go into business together and let's do, you know, a business partnership around this and you guys take care of the digital marketing side. Now, I'm proud to say that one in particular, the online flooring store, which I think is the biggest online flooring retailer in the country. If it's not, it's one of a few. Turning over millions of dollars a year, I'm extremely grateful to be a shareholder and have that position in that business. You know, without those people, without that team, you know, I just wouldn't be anything with that. So that's a situation where it worked out really well. But there was a number of partnerships, you know, initially in a similar structure. You guys handle all the online marketing stuff and we'll do the other stuff that didn't work. And, you know, that was had stuff to do with, you know, the person that we're dealing with, the industry itself. You know, people are looking for it, but business is so much more than just online marketing. I mean, is there an ROI here? Is there a return on investment or, you know, are you turning over millions of dollars a year just to make $50,000? So there was a lot more at play. You know, I think the person that you're working with is probably the biggest one. So there were business and ventures that we put a lot of time and money into that really didn't pay off. You know, the ones that did were worth it. But if I look back, I realized that I could have easily avoided the ones that didn't. You know, it was also an ego thing as well. It's like, oh, you know, I'm going to own shares in all these different businesses and it's all going to work. And, you know, it was their understanding of online marketing. You know, once some of this work had been done, they're the ones still out there servicing the business every day. So there's all these things in play that I hadn't considered that can cause a business to work or not that I wasn't aware of, you know, like at the moment, you know, we're selling a business that you know, it turned over, it made money, but it's actually a couple of 1960s Cadillacs, and it's in the car hire business, and it's probably something that's not really suited to me. I think for the right business owner, I think it's the perfect business, but my ego got involved in like the idea of, you know, having a share in old classic cars. But in hindsight, you know, it really wasn't for me, and it probably had the potential to pull me outside of where my value actually is in a business. I mean, once all the online marketing is said and done, there's still a lot of work to do for the partner of that business, you know. So yeah, it's something that people need to consider. My advice would be is to really focus in on what you love and really complete that skill set or project that you're doing before you try and do multiple things, because everything needs time, everything needs funding, partnerships need nourishment, and finding the right connections, it takes years. You know, if you're considering going into business with someone, then you've really got to go through that process of deciding, is this business right for me? Because most businesses fail. And on top of that, most business partnerships fail as well. So they're my mistakes.
Mate, you have been absolutely phenomenal. And the information you have given has been super interesting for me. It's given me some food for thought around future SEO, optimization of websites. It's given me some real food for thought around just how I market online. And also, I guess, you know, more things closer to home in terms of messages that we hear quite frequently around not trying to do too much too soon. And I've heard that same message now a few times. And we're actually going to do a summary video probably after episode 10, where we actually get all of these common themes that are running across all of these different industries that are pretty much being said almost like a parrot. And we're going to bring them up on the screen and really unpack sort of the true meaning around what these people are saying.
Cool.
But mate, people want to get in touch and find a little bit more out about you or work with you or engage some kind of service. Where can they go? How can they find you?
Honestly, like, I think the best way, you can try and follow me on Instagram, so you can, I've got it on private. So it's just basically full of kid spam now, or I'll just
congratulations.
Leave you my personal email. Yeah. Cheers. I'll just leave you my personal email, I think is the best way. I mean, I don't even have my own website at the moment. As I said, I'm not really looking to be found, but I do enjoy giving really good advice. I'm open to taking on one or two clients if it's a really good fit. You know, you're dealing with an ex-agency owner that's been there and done that. So, you know, I am open to it. I'm currently just doing my own websites at the moment. But, yeah, look, I really enjoy a good chat, a really good conversation. I'm not really trying to sell you anything. So, you know, if you want to find me, then just shoot me a line and we'll go from there.
Thank you, sir. And would you prefer that I leave that in the description?
Yeah, look, just feel free to email me. It's levisaunders3@gmail.com.
Really appreciate your time. And thanks again for all of your input. I really value you, and what a fantastic share of knowledge that you have in what I think was kind of a bit of an unknown industry for me. I feel like I know just that little bit more. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, awesome, man. And thanks so much for having me on your podcast. And I've really enjoyed the other episodes so far. So
appreciate it. Take care.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Well, there you go, crew. So many insights from today's episode. I certainly have a renewed sense of appreciation for website design, and more specifically, optimizing that design so it's prioritized in the eyes of search engines. If you know anyone who's starting or already has an existing online presence or business, please be sure to share them this episode. I reckon they'd see value in it. Levi's contact details can also be found in the description if you want to get in touch. Crew, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to navigate over to your favorite streaming service and give us a follow, like, or subscribe so that you don't miss out on future episodes. And trust me, you're not going to want to miss out on the upcoming guests over the next few weeks. For the moment, though, crew, take care.